Hi, this is Giron Rothstein, and this is a responsum a day for the 12th day of Nisan. Today we're going to learn from Rosh Pesach Frank, Shut Har Tzvi, Evan Ezer, Siman Lamedalet, the Evan Ezer section, the responsum number 34. Let's thank the OU, Rabbi Jacob Bramwitz, and David Hachhauser for putting these shirim online, making them available to you. And let me comment up front that Rosh Pesach Frank, in my experience of him, very, very often has tshuvot that have to do with marriage issues and get issues and aguna issues and things like that. And this is not going to be an exception. But I often resist taking tshuvot of his because I don't want to get caught up in only doing that. And I always worry that I'm letting myself be caught up in certain things. But for today, from the 12th of Nisan of Tuf Resh Pei Dalet of 1924, this was the one that appealed to me most among the tshuvot that I had an option of presenting to you. So the story is, there was a young girl, a five-year-old girl. She was orphaned from her father, and her mother married her off to a boy of 14. They had kiddushin with witnesses, and they had a chuppah. That's going to be a complication that will come up later in the responsum. And then 8 months later, 8 months is going to be an important number as well, 8 months later, the mother and daughter wanted to move to Israel. Now, I'm not sure what it means the daughter wanted to, but she's a five-year-old or a six-year-old, but she wanted to move to Israel, and the boy didn't want to move to Israel. So they asked him to divorce her, and he went to a sofer, he went to a scribe, and the sofer wrote a bill of divorce, and he gave her the bill of divorce without a Beit Din being there to oversee the process, and that was the custom in that place. You didn't have to go to a Beit Din for a divorce. You just went to a sofer. The sofer wrote it. You had witnesses, and you got a divorce. So the problem is, the flaw in that is that theoretically, she could have done a mi'un. A mi'un is set up by Chazal. We're going to talk about these issues a little bit, but the fact is that a girl, a minor, isn't really able to marry herself off because she's a minor. Right? And today, I have to say, this is a topic that today raises all sorts of other issues because people are properly worried about issues like pedophilia and stuff like that. So how it worked in terms of consummating, there's no indication there was any consummation of the marriage or anything like that. It seems like it was more about their mother wants to guarantee her daughter's future so that she'll know that when the time comes for that, it's reasonable for her to actually be married, she's going to marry this guy. And however it'll work when they get to the older ages. In the end, we don't have to worry about it for this couple because they got divorced before it ever became an issue. But those are a reminder that there are cultural differences between different times, and that even if something becomes seen as taboo or wrong or awful in our time, sometimes that's objectively true, or we come to think that's objectively true, and they just didn't realize it in earlier times. And sometimes I think it's a matter of cultural issues. So let's assume for a second that this couple was not going to consummate the marriage until the girl was, 16, which we would consider the age of consent. Let's say that was their tradition. I think they did it younger. In fact, I think that once the girl was 12, 13, or 14, and in most cases, the boy was around the same age. Today, people would say, oh, well, when she was going to be 13, let's say, that would be 8 years later, he would be 22. 22-year-old and a 13-year-old, we today would have very significant problems with it, and I have no problem with the fact that we would object to it. I only think it's worth pausing to think about whether that objection is because of where we are right now in our culture, and that doesn't mean it's wrong to be where we are right now. It doesn't mean we should strive to get back to a different culture. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that as we judge those other cultures, I think that this always becomes an interesting question to think about. There are times when we look at other cultures, and I think appropriately say that culture was, perverted or wrong or bad in some way. And we believe that that would have been true, should have been true back then as well, that they should have realized that. And I think there should be other times when we look at other cultures and say, they made different cultural choices than we did, and there's a way in which that worked for people and was not inherently problematic. So that's sort of an underlying issue here as well, because the topic is now, in this case, there's no evidence that the marriage was ever consummated, so that should take away some of the concerns about the issue for people. And here's going to be a technical question of, the point is, I don't know if I remember if I finished the question. Question is, 13 years later, she has gotten, now, nitarsa probably means not that she had kiddushin, but it probably means that she has become engaged to, right? That even though Erusin in the Gemara's language means they had kiddushin, it probably means she became engaged to a boy, a young man. She's 18 now, but he's a Kohen. So a Kohen is not allowed to marry a woman who's divorced. So part of the tragedy of the case is that she could have done a miyun when she was a little girl. If somebody had just given her that advice, miyun is that when Chazal allowed, so that's where we're starting. It's not true that a ketana, that a minor is allowed to, is supposed to be able to, originally, if she's never been married before, accept marriage on her own behalf. It was theoretically true that fathers could do it. That's a whole topic of its own that we don't have to get into, because her father wasn't with her. But theoretically, if her father had accepted kiddushin for her, that would be a kiddushin d'oraita. She would be married, and the only way out of such a marriage would be a get. But when the father has passed away, Chazal, let's remember, Tosfot already pointed this out, Chazal, in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, allowed for creating some kind of a marriage by her mother or her brothers, and that was out of worry for her. It was, if they find an opportunity to have her be married and set her up in life and give her that security, that was seen as a boon, as a favor to her, where it was deemed appropriate. But embedded in that right to marry her off by her mothers and her, by her mother or and or her brothers, Chazal included a right on her part before she became an adult to say, no, I don't want this marriage. This marriage isn't working for me. That's called mi'un. So had she done mi'un, had she just said, I don't want this marriage, that uproots the marriage completely. It's as if it never happened, and then you wouldn't have had this problem because she would have been able to marry the Kohen. But that's not what happened. What happened was she accepted a get. So she accepted a get, maybe she's a grusha, maybe she's a divorcee, and therefore she cannot marry the Kohen. Now this comes up, and this is a particular instance of this question, but I remember, you know, from when I was single and when I was young married, I remember meeting many, many people, and for some reason there seemed to be like this fatal attraction between divorcees and Kohanim, because I knew more than a few people who were Kohanim and found themselves dating women who had been divorced. So in those situations, you want to talk about maybe the divorce wasn't a real divorce, maybe this, maybe that. You try to find, to the extent they decide to get, that they want to get married, they try to find ways through these halachot. The question is, that facing Rosh Pesach Frank, is there a way to say that this get can be ignored to the extent that she can marry this Kohen or not? So the question had already come before another Rav named Rav Gershon Lapidot. And Rav Gershon Lapidot had answered that it's a mimanafshach. Mimanafshach means that no matter which way you think about it, no matter which opinion you have among the Rishonim, you're going to come to the same conclusion. Meaning, he suggested, the Rif in Gittin holds that before Zman HaPi'utot lo chalu HaKidushin. Zman HaPi'utot, we're going to see, is the age of six. And so the Rif held that even in a case where Chazal created Kiddushin, the mother's accepting the Kiddushin on her behalf, meaning when the father accepts Kiddushin on behalf of the girl, she has no role to play in it whatsoever. That was a right the Torah gave the father. The Tosfot already says, so the Tosfot in the 1200s already tells us we are not supposed to take advantage of this right. We're supposed to let women grow up and find their own husbands or agree to their own husbands as adults. But it was a right the Torah gave. That would be a case of the father accepting Kiddushin and the creating the marriage for her. But when it's the mother or the brothers, so the Rif seems to have held that before she reaches Kod HaZmana Pe'utot, the Pe'utot means she's like old enough to understand what it means to acquire something, I think. So the Kiddushin aren't Chal. And so that would mean, if the Kiddushin aren't Chal, there was never a marriage. If there was a marriage, she can't be a Grusha because she was never married. So that would help, meaning that would help our situation. And for Rashi, so Rashi said that you can create a marriage maybe before Zman HaPe'utot, but he thought that for her to accept a get needed Zman HaPe'utot. For her to be able to become a divorcee, she had to reach the Zman HaPe'utot, which was the age of six. And before that, she has no ability, no actual ability to accept a get, so that has no meaning. And then it would be as if she didn't accept the get. Because this Rav Gershon Lapidot had said, because you need her to be 6 full years old to reach Onat HaPe'utot. So that seemed to be a way to find a cooler, to say either way, she doesn't have a problem because she didn't accept the get from that guy. Either, according to Rashi, she couldn't accept the get because she wasn't six, and she needed to reach the age of six before a get would be valid with her. And according to the Rif, she wasn't married to begin with. But the Rav Shmuel Frank says, I don't understand quite. If she didn't get a get, according to Rashi, she's still married. Because Rashi doesn't say she can't accept Kiddushin. Rashi seems to understand that the mother and the brothers can create the Kiddushin for her, and she doesn't have to have reached a particular age. They just do it as the rabbinic. That was part of the Tekana of Chazal, the ordinance of Chazal, that was there to help young girls find marital security. I'm not saying that's the way it should be again, but that was what they were thinking. That was their framework, their mindset. They wanted to help young girls find marital security. So if the mother and brothers did that, then Rashi thought that that just worked on its own, whatever her age she was. If she wanted to get divorced after that, so then you would need Zman HaPeuta. Now, it's unclear why she should need a divorce, and she should have and could have done Miyun, but that's not what happened. So we'll get back to that a little bit, but then he points out that the man asking him the question, Pesach Frank says, you pointed out a Ramah in Eben HaEzer. The Ramah in Eben HaEzer says that even if a woman, this is an important Ramah, comes up a lot today as well, even if a woman takes a get from a man, and it's only because of a chumrah, meaning there are cases where, and this comes up, and this is one of the reasons why jokes and fooling around with marital issues is an important thing not to do, but let's say you have a case where a young man gives a young woman something, and he says, "Hareh Mekudesh," and there are witnesses there, and they sort of are joking around, it's not clear they're joking around. So in a lot of those cases, if you consult with the Beit Din, you consult with the rabbis, they'll say, we think she needs to get l'chumra. We're just not positive that there's not a kiddushin here. You don't want to mess with that, because if there was a valid kiddushin, she qualifies as a married woman al pi halacha, and then if she marries somebody else, she's having adultery all her life, and all her children are mamzerim. So you'll require a get mechumra. Now you might have thought that if it's a get mechumra, the delivery of a get only just in case, well, maybe that doesn't tassel her lekahuna. You might have thought maybe that would mean she could still marry a kohen, because after all, it wasn't a real get, it was a get just in case. So the Ramah's idea that's being mentioned here is that we don't hold that way. We hold, at least Ashkenazim, I don't know what Sfaradim do about this, but at least Ashkenazim hold that, I think Sfaradim agree, I think that even if she just gets a get, it receives a get lechomra, we think that makes her a grusha in terms of the issues of hakohen. Now the Beit Shmuel there says, however, that's not if she took a get by anybody. It's only, this is a leniency on this issue, it's only if a Beit Din required the get. And in our case, no Beit Din required the get. So maybe you could have argued the get she got was really just in case the kiddushin had been okay. We don't really think the kiddushin was okay because we think she was too young. But just in case the kiddushin was okay, she got a get. Now it happens to be that Rashi thinks the get wasn't good, but she got a get. So you could say, well, if she got a get just in case and it wasn't with a Beit Din, so then it doesn't count as a get just in case. Because in order for it to be a get, meaning this would be the idea that, in order for it to be a get just in case, for that to qualify as a meaningful get, and by meaningful we mean meaningful enough that we have to think of her as a grusha, we have to think of her as a divorcee in terms of whether or not she can marry a kohen, you could say that unless the Beit Din, meaning one argument would have been, well, anytime a valid document is written that says you're divorced from so-and-so and delivered to the girl, to a woman, that makes her a grusha. But that's obviously too extreme, because let's say she's never been married and the guy walks up to her and gives her a bill of divorce. You wouldn't think that that makes her a grusha in any sense in terms of a kohen. So the whole question is always going to be, what makes it? So the Beit Shmuel was arguing that where we're not positive she needs to get it all, and so they give her a get just in case, but the definition of just in case always has to involve a Beit Din. Without a Beit Din saying, yes, we think that she needs a get, that won't qualify as a real get of any way to affect her status in terms of kohanim. Now, what makes it maybe a little, would have theoretically made a little better in our case, hasn't gotten started yet. This is all part of the question. And the questioner, as is true in many, many situations, the questioner is trying to give ideas. He says, in our case, what should make it better is that she's already had kiddushin with this kohen. So when I said she was engaged before, I was wrong. She already had kiddushin with the kohen. Why does that help us? It helps us because in halacha, there are times when we'll tell a woman, we think your status is such that you shouldn't get married, perhaps at all, or shouldn't marry X group of people like kohanim. So an example would be, let's say a woman's first husband disappears and is feared dead, and there's some evidence that he's dead, but it wouldn't theoretically have been, it wouldn't, as far as we know, been enough evidence to allow us to say, you're free to marry somebody else. But she gets married anyway. So she's not supposed to, and sometimes we'll tell her, sorry, you got to leave this marriage, and it's a problem. And sometimes we'll say, well, you shouldn't have gotten married, but the fact that you got married, I mean, that sometimes it depends on the type of case and the type of doubts we have about whether the husband's really still alive or not. So here, since she's already in a kiddushin with the kohen, the Beit Shmuel quotes a Bach who says she doesn't have to leave, not about our particular case, but about another case over there where there was a doubtful get, or there was a doubtful kiddushin, and then she had a get, and she shouldn't have gotten married, but then she did. Now the Taz there disagrees, but the questioner thinks, but in our case, the Taz should accept the fact that once she's married this Kohen, she should be allowed to stay with him, because The Gemara in Gittin talks about the idea of mevatlinan kala. There are times when a get is delivered, and then we find that information that tells us that really there was no need for a get because really there was never a marriage. And then the problem is that we'll sometimes worry, but people will have heard about the get. And that's a big worry for us. People heard about the get and then see her marry a Kohen, they will get the wrong impression that they'll say, well, you see, divorcees are allowed to marry Kohanim. So that's one of the complications of that whole area of halakha, is that if a woman's been married and then gets divorced, so then you have a problem not only that she's a divorcee, but even if you find, as sometimes rabbis do find, that there was significant enough flaws in the first marriage that she shouldn't have ever counted as married, and therefore the get shouldn't really have counted as a bill of divorce in any real way, but there was the giving of a get. That will sometimes create what's called reach a get, the smell of a get. But here we're talking about a similar idea. There's a call to the get. There's the rumor, the news, the knowledge that a get was given, and that creates a problem for her because we don't want to give people the wrong impression because they'll extrapolate. We're very often worried in halakha about how people will extrapolate and learn wrong halakhic lessons from it. But, and therefore, the questioner suggesting, in cases where at the moment that the get is being given, we really should have known already that it wasn't a valid get in any way, and if that's already well known, and the case in get in Peiteno Advet is, that let's suppose that you find out later that the man was a katan, and therefore he didn't have the ability to marry a woman with kiddushin because he was too young to do it. So even though there was a get given, we would mevatel the kol. We would say there that you don't pay attention to the idea of the get and you ignore the whole thing. So maybe you can do that here. So all that is part of the question. It's been a long time of the question because it brought up many of the fundamental issues. But now let's see. Rav Shimon Safran is unfortunately for this young woman not going to be as comfortable ruling leniently. He says, first and most important thing about this is that you didn't tell me clearly enough how old she was when all of this happened originally. If she was 5 exactly, so then it fits still the way you said it, because then by the time of the get, she was 5 years and 8 months. So we'll get to why that's important in a second. But it's possible that you'll find out that when they said she was 5, she was actually maybe even 6. But even if you find out that she wasn't quite 6, but she might have been 5 and a half. Why is that important? Because if she was 5 and a half, then it makes sense people would say she was 5 when she was 5 and a half. Even if she was 5 and 4 months, right? Why is that a problem? Because they were married for about 8 months, but then it means that at the time of the gerushin, at the time of the divorce, she might already have reached what's called onat ha'pirutot. She might have reached the age of 6. The age of 6 is the age when she can, in some sense, accept a valid halachic get, and then she's halachically divorced because she accepted a halachic get. But then, and then you could say also, the Rif and the Rambam happened to have held that before the age of 6, she didn't even need a miyun. She could just leave a marriage because it's so not a marriage because she's so young. But if she reaches the age of 6, and here's the other thing, she reaches the age of 6 and she still has the kesef kiddushin. Let's remember that almost all Jewish men and women get married by the man giving the woman something of value, right? That's one of the three ways you can create the first stage of marriage in halacha. Almost everybody does it with something of value, and almost everybody does it with a plain ring. So that plain ring, women tend to keep. It's true, sometimes women lose it, and then it's not around. But if they tend to keep it, as they do, then at the moment she turns 6, the Rav Tzvi Frank is saying, then you've got a kiddushin there, meaning she reached the onat ha'peutot. You've got this kiddushin derabbanan that should take effect according to all opinions. And then she should need a miyun to be able to get out. You can't just say it's nothing, meaning part of the assumption of the question was, if we can ignore the get, we can ignore the kiddushin as well because she was so young that it shouldn't have any effect at all. So the first stage of his answer is that he thinks it's pretty clear that by the time of the gerushin, she was probably 6, and by the time of the gerushin, it was probably true that she had the ring. She had the ring, then she would have needed miyun, which she never did, or she would need a get, and then she got a get, but then the get she got was a real get, and then she's a grusha, she's a divorced woman, and she can't marry the kohen. Now, even if you prove, or even if you find out that she was less than 6 when the divorce happened, it's still a matter of debate among the Rishonim as to how this works, because it's true, Rif and Rambam thinks there was no kiddushin here at all, and then she's therefore not a grusha, not a divorcee, because there's no kiddushin. But while for Rashi in the original letter, he tried to say Rashi would also think that it didn't work because the get isn't a get, but in a later letter, this man apparently conceded that Rashi would think, no, that even before the age of six, she can accept a get. And the Ran talks about it over there, that you need for Gerush in order for Utot, but that's only with a marriage by the father, because then a Kiddushei Torah, right, when the Torah created a marriage, that's the one that needs a more serious way of getting out of the marriage. But it sounds like Kiddushei Rabbanan, you wouldn't be machmir about that, and therefore the get should be a valid get, and then you have a problem. And if you argue, if you decide, like I said before, that Rashi thinks that no, the get isn't valid, then it's worse, because then when she accepted Kiddushin from the Kohen, she was married to somebody else still, because that marriage never went away. I think it would actually get complicated, because she was married to that guy by her mother, that's Kiddushin Durabana. Now this would be an adult marriage, and the Kiddushin Durabana, you have to get all these problems with those issues, whatever, but she can't have a miyun anymore because she didn't do anything while she was a child. And so she's going to need a get now from the first guy. And that will certainly be a get as an adult. And therefore, she certainly can't be married to this Kohen. And it happens to be just complicated. The Ravid holds, and the Ritva, brings that view, and the Rav Balamor brings that view as well. The Ravid holds that if her mother or brother are the ones marrying her, so even if she's younger than Ronan HaPutot, she'll need a miyun. Meaning the argument was maybe she doesn't need anything. They were saying, no, there are shittos that since even if she got married very, very young, she'll still need a miyun to get out of it, and therefore we're stuck because she didn't have the miyun, and therefore we're stuck. And then the Gaon Mikarlin, who was an important achron, says another problem here is that all this discussion that the Rif and the Rambam think that maybe it doesn't count at all and they can be lenient, that was only where all that had happened was Kiddushin. But when there was Nisuin, by Nisuin, we don't mean consummation of the marriage, we mean just they went into a chuppah, they went into a yichud room, right, all that. And here in this case, you had a chuppah, you had Kiddushin and a chuppah. You had the whole thing. So if you had the whole thing, so you have to be machmir, according to the which is the, there's an opinion of the Bahag, that once there's Nisuin, when there's the full marriage, you'd need a miyun even before Onat HaPutot. And once you need a miyun, it means if you didn't get a miyun, you need a gerushin, and therefore she's a grusha. So that would be true of this case as well. And then also happens to be that there are authorities, the Beit Shmuel and the Tazu hold, that if the word went out, if the rumor in the world was, right, the expectation, the assumption of the world was that she was a grusha, then they held that even if she fully married the Kohen, we require her to leave the Kohen because of the kol that she's a grusha. Now, the Bach was mekel, was lenient, that if she got fully married, wouldn't make them get separated. But that's only according to the view that if when there are certain rumors, we allow ourselves to just say no. Those kinds of rumors, those kinds of discussions of her, we can suppress. We can just tell people that they're wrong about that. But happens to be, the Rambam, quoted by the Beis Yosef, says we don't do that. So therefore, he comes around saying that in our situation, it seems like no matter how you understand her, she's going to be prohibited to be married to this Kohen. For Rashi, she's a grusha, because Rashi thinks the get is valid. For the Rambam, she might not actually be a grusha, but to stop people from thinking she's a grusha, we would have to say that get that you all witnessed, that you thought was a get, wasn't actually valid. That's called mivatlinan kala, and we are not mivatlinan kala. With Rambam holds, we don't allow ourselves to assume we can suppress those rumors well enough that people will understand that she's not really married. Now, there is a Tosfos in Gittin holds that regarding Truma Derabanan, we would allow ourselves to be mivatlinan kala. I mean, unless she had sort of gotten divorced, but not really, and then she marries a Kohen, and then she wants to be able to eat Truma Derabanan. So there, we would allow ourselves to say, no, you know what, that call that you heard, that voice, that sound that you heard that said she had been married, and that she'd been divorced, was untrue, and therefore she's still allowed to eat Truma. But that Tosfos says, it's up front, was only talking about Truma in our times. So the important point about Truma in our times is that it's necessarily Derabanan, and there's no D'oraita component to it. And so since it can never become an issue of a biblical prohibition, that's why Tosfos said you can suppress rumors and be mevatel kala and say that get you think you saw was an actual get. But in our case, since the worry is that if people watch her get married to a Kohen, they will learn the wrong lesson that divorced women can marry Kohanim, so that's a D'oraita issue. It's true, in our case, it's not a D'oraita permutation of it or iteration of it or example of it, but it could lead to that. So therefore, there's no reason to think that Tosfos says that we allow ourselves to be vatal kala in a situation like this, we allow ourselves to suppress rumors or the spread of the news that we think we could get around that, that wouldn't apply here. Now, for all that, he's therefore going to be, and he concludes, Mikol Halein, from all this, it seems like that if it's not for a case of Igun, if it's Igun, he says, meaning there's nobody else she can marry, and if she gets divorced from this guy, she's going to be left alone for her whole life, or he's refused to give her a get, whatever it is, if not for that, he thinks she can't stay married to this Kohen. So he's already been machmir on the situation. But then, this Rav was asking the question, said he found another tshuva that pointed out that, let's say you have another example of a woman who's married, and there's another problem that can happen in a get, that if a woman is unable to understand, this would be because she's not in the right mind, or she's not old enough or sophisticated enough, but she's unable to understand that gittin means she's no longer married to this man. So it's called mishalcha v'chozeret. The husband says to her, you're no longer married to me, you're no longer going to live with me, go away. And she comes back, not like she comes back, like she's insisting on coming back. She doesn't understand. She thinks she's still married. It's another kind of a situation. So in those situations, we say that it's an eino get. It's not a get. But even if she eventually gets divorced from that guy, it'll still be what's called a rea. I'm sorry. She gets divorced, she's got a divorce. Let's say that man then dies one day, and now she's theoretically only an almana, only a widow, and could marry a kohen. But we don't say that in halacha. We say that that get that he gave her, if he gave her a get, that's called a reach get. It has the smell of a get to it. So here too, you should argue there's a reach get, even if you get around all the getting issues. But there's at least a reach get. There was the delivery of a valid get. There was the example, the action of delivery of a valid get. That's a reach get. It's got the smell of a get. It should be enough that she can't marry a kohen. So even though he's already been machmir in general on this woman, he's already said she doesn't think she can stay married to this kohen. On this particular point, Rav Zvi Melzer Frank says he's not sure, because it might be that the idea of reach get, that the delivery of a get, even if the get is not valid, even if the get doesn't take any effect, even if the get doesn't work, the delivery of a get creates a problem for us to have to think of her as in some ways a grusha for these purposes in terms of marrying a kohen because of reach get. That might only be, says Rav Zvi Melzer Frank, when it's a Kiddushei Torah. When the Kiddushin that was created originally, that the get is trying to tear asunder, to separate the couple, is only when the marriage that they had was a biblically valid marriage. A marriage that followed the rules the Torah sets up for marriage. But in a situation where the whole marriage was only derabbanan, was only set up by Chazal, and especially in our case where the Rif and the Rambam might have honestly thought there was no Kiddushin, but, right, so that was a question that we had. So then maybe there's no reach get either, and that shouldn't be the issue. Then the last piece that comes up in the tshuva, it goes back and forth about a little bit, is whether or not we call about onan ha'peuta requires 6 full years, because maybe, man, that would be relevant to our tshuva, because let's say the original marriage was when she was 5 years and 2 months old, so that's not onan ha'peuta, but when she accepts the get, that meant that she was 5 years and 10 months old, and if that's the onan ha'peuta, it also changes the calculus, because once she reaches onan ha'peuta, she's more capable of accepting a get and having it be considered a valid halakhic occurrence. So that's another issue that comes up, and there are opinions both ways, but he fundamentally thinks that it's possible that even slightly before 6, she might be, have reached Onat HaPe'utot. So that's the main tshuva we're doing for today. That was Tzvi Pesach Frank on a 5-year-old having been married off by her mother, trying to get out of it, and whether or not that worked in terms of her later being able to marry a kohen. And it's a reminder that in that situation, if only they had consulted with a competent rabbi, she would have done miyut, and then the whole question would never have arisen. She could have married her kohen and lived happily ever after. In the last little bit that we have left, I just want to point out a tshuva that I stumbled across in Orach Mishpat Rav Cook and Orach Chaim Siman Kuf Gimel on the 12th of Nisan of the next year of Tuf Resh Pei Hei of 1925. He's writing to the people in the kibbutz of Atarot, which I'm pretty sure is not an Orthodox kibbutz, an observant kibbutz. So there's actually a whole history to Atarot, which is originally in the area that's today the Arab town of Kalandia, which is slightly north of Yerushalayim, and they set up, they had a hard time setting up, it wasn't a kibbutz, it was really a moshav, it was a collective, and they, in 1925, was when they had just actually bought cows for a dairy business, and they were struggling to make it work, and I think eventually they made it work somewhat. In 1948, they were expelled as part of the War of Independence of the State of Israel. They lost that part of the land, they lost the West Bank, what we call the West Bank, or Yehudah and Shomron, and they were kicked out, and then later, anyway. whole story. So in 12th of Nisan of 1925, Rav Kook writes to the people of Atarot. He says, when I'm looking into to your situation, right, and you're the people who are working the land of Israel, you're trying to bring it back to life. She's trying to help them out. So he says, I want you to know, you have to do Haggalah on all of your kalim that you use during the year, meaning you just have to boil water in them. You have to wait 24 hours, boil water in them, and then your milk will be kosher LePesach. And the Haggalah should be under the supervision of Bnei Torah, because they're not Bnei Torah, supervision of some observant Jews, and I give them two names of people who can do it, who live there, and he says, during Pesach, you should feed your cows. During Pesach, you need to feed them things that aren't chametz. You can feed them potatoes. You can feed them things made from kidney oat. So you can, you know, corn feed if you had. Or sesame crackers or kidney oat. As long as they're kidney oat, you can't take wetted grain, because that's a problem, because it might become chametz, and that's probably, you would think maybe it's not chametz because it's not made into flour. The answer is, once grain becomes wet, then you have to worry that it becomes, that we don't realize that it's become leavened, however that happens. And therefore, and he says, and I've told Mr. Lizinski, who's one of the people there, all the details, and I hope that that will help you have your milk be sold in Eretz Israel and help for Pesach and help you, etc. So that closes tonight very nicely. We started with being unable in 1924 to help a young woman marry the Kohen that she had become, to whom she had already had Erusin, she already thought she had been married to. And we can close with Rav Kook helping the Kvutzat Atarot keep their dairy business going for the days of Pesach to come. That's responsive day for the 12th of Nisan. My name is Gideon Rothstein. The OU helps us put the Shiurim online. Rabbi Jacob Bromwitz and David Hachaz are instrumental in that effort. Thank you to them. Thank you to you for listening. I'd love to hear from you. My email is grothst@gmail.com. Have a great day.